Hey there, it's Tony here and welcome to episode 28 of the Dumb Leaders Podcast. Today I'm talking all things Sears and Kmart. Hey there, it's Tony here and welcome to the Dumb Leaders Podcast. We're into episode 28. We had a lovely range, a great range of feedback from our last podcast with Cameron Blewett called Dumb Leaders and Bad Unions. Now, I don't know whether this was aligned or not, but the Dumb Leaders Handbook survived a hacking attempt from somewhere in Ghana the night that the Dumb Leaders podcast was released. I'm not sure whether there was any relevance in that, but whether it was just a funny little coincidence. So today I just want to talk about Sears and Kmart and retail in general in that form of retail in general, because, you know, word came out towards the end of last week that the financiers and the backers behind Sears have recommended that Sears liquidate. And the funny thing is, as I'm talking right now, Sears have filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, and they're going to close another 142 stores. So this is happening as we speak, as I record this. So let's just have a bit of a bow peep as to what has occurred today. So Sears Holding, whose presence, and this is from, where am I, USA Today. Sears Holding, whose presence permeated American life for generations, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection early Monday in a last-ditch attempt to avoid entombment in the graveyard of once great retailers that failed to adapt to the digital age. For Sears, which was the largest retailer in the nation before the rise of Walmart and later Amazon, bankruptcy marks the culmination of years of decline defined by store closures, sales decreases, cost cuts and borrowing. The company, which also owns discount retailer Kmart, has fallen into disrepair amid a perilous retail landscape in which customers increasingly shop online or seek out more appealing alternatives. Sears Holdings will close another 142 stores by about the end of the year, on top of the recently announced round of 46 closures as part of the bankruptcy. The company currently has 506 Sears locations, including 482 full-line department stores, as well as 360 Kmart stores as of August 4. Wow. How relevant then is it that we're talking about Sears and we're talking about Kmart? So what's that? Currently they've got 506 and 360. That's 866 locations. They're closing another 142. Wow. Let me just, back in the heyday, back in the day, and obviously we don't want to waste a lot of time thinking about where this company has gone from. But this great retail company, Sears. I mean, I'm from Australia, and one of the biggest things that I wanted to do when I first visited America a number of years ago was get into a Sears store, get into a Kmart store. I'm a retail geek, for want of another word. But this is, it's really quite a sad day, because here we have one of the major retailers just unable to compete. And some of the lessons that we've got to learn here, that we have to learn in relation to what happens when businesses start to struggle, it's imperative that we learn this. So, and what's really interesting when you start to look at the journey of both Sears and Kmart is that they were the prominent retailers, and then they sort of opened the door to this little upstart out of Bentonville called Walmart, and now look at what Walmart has done today. So the initial, process of the business of Sears End came up when they were separate and then they co-joined, was that they started to lose ground, obviously, to Walmart. Now, when you look at the timeline of Sears, this is where it really starts to get really interesting. So back in 2006, and I'm talking Sears at the moment, and I'm talking about the combined, because they were, in 2004, Kmart and Sears combined. So depending on who you listen to, Kmart Holdings announced it was going to acquire Sears, Roebuck and Co. for $11 billion after Kmart completed its bankruptcy back in 2004. But ultimately, they became known as the Sears Holding Corporation, so which sort of indicated to me that maybe the two companies combined knew where the strength of the brand was. Now, the combined company profits peaked at $1.5 billion in 2006, but have dwindled away to nearly nothing by 2010. From 2011 to 2016, the company lost $10.4 billion. And in 2014, its total debt, $4.2 billion at the end of January 27, surpassed its market cap. Wow. So, and there's, it's just been like a magnitude of sell-offs and store closures, and declining retail offer. There's been no investment back into the brand, and basically, ultimately, what's happened is almost like a case study of what, in hindsight, especially what not to do. So, just trying to get a bit of a grip around the culmination here. So, I think the number of stores that they had. So when you think about this as a brand, how many stores did they have? So you can go back to 2009, for example, right? So the troubles are well entrenched at this stage because, you know, we just heard some numbers that they were losing money. Now, in 2009, they had 3,862 stores. 2010, they had 3,949 stores. When in trouble, do not dig. When in hole, do not dig. 4,010 stores in 2011, and then in 2012, 2,500, 2013, 2,400, 1,700 in 2014, and the numbers go to 2017 in where there was 1,000 stores. And as we just read, there is now close to about 800 with another 140 to close. So when presented with the issues of the changing face of business, it would appear that, you know, there's a couple of things that we need to look at. You know, both Kmart and Sears were struggling at the time of the acquisition, right? So why, if you're struggling as a retailer, why would you buy another struggling retailer? Would have to be a question that's asked. It's just seriously a question that needs to ask. Why would you buy a struggling retailer when you yourself have been struggling? Now, ultimately, what we're now seeing, they've filed for Chapter 11. Now, the context behind the podcast was all about the finances, and the banks were asking the company themselves to liquidate. So, you know, the real reality is that over the course of the next 12 months, we may see the end of the Sears and the Kmart brand. And when you think about that, and as recently as 2009, there were 3,900 locations where of either brand here, in the United States. And one of the things, and the reason what I wanted to talk about was that when businesses start going backwards, and then they will often escalate and multiply the speed in which they're going backwards, because when you've got like a critical mass of a company, right, and it's a critical mass and, you know, there might be, we'll use a hypothetical, there's 100 locations behind a brand. Now, those having those 100 locations builds an economy of scale. It helps with your bulk discounts on products. It helps with the coverage and negotiation with suppliers. It helps with the brand image. I mean, there are so many reasons why having a big footprint is the right way to go. But when you start to diminish the size of the footprint, you obviously then start to have ramifications across every area. You can't buy as well, you're not buying as much stock, for example, et cetera, et cetera. So in many ways, when we start to drop locations, we start to see this context of a company going backwards even quicker than what they were potentially before that. And there'll be a lot of people out there, and anyone that's worked in corporate world in big retail know that there are often unprofitable locations. It was almost, there was a stage there with one of the companies that I work with when I was initially here working with Kmart here in Australia, that something like 40% of the stores in the store network at that time were not making money. And when a retailer allows that sort of a program to continue on, you've really got to ask the question. You just can't keep putting locations out there that are going to be unprofitable. But then your decline is multiplied when we start looking wholly and solely at the cost aspects, right? So once you're in that position, you know, start, you know, maybe the answer is not in just doing closures. You know, last year I think there was something like there was another round of closures that have just been announced prior to today. And there was about 40. But I think at the beginning of the year, they announced that there was over 300 Kmart locations closing, for example. So when we continue to close stores, maybe that's not necessarily the answer. Maybe it's about charging up the people in that store and providing them the opportunities to make that store profitable. I mean, what is it that's creating that unprofitability? Is it the rent that I'm just spitballing here, because what's become increasingly evident is that when we're going for growth in business, it's got to be profitable growth. You know, we just saw here in Australia, Max Brenner's closing down, gone into administration, and it was the fastest growing, one of the fastest growing companies in the food sector, in the eat out entertainment sector, and now they're basically closing the doors. Growth is good, but it's going to be profitable growth. But once you hit that mass, you know, the disciplines to be opening locations that are profitable from day one is really critical here. And you know, we just see it time and time and time again, don't we? We saw it with the Bunnings debacle in the UK. We saw it with the Masters debacle here in Australia, where we just keep popping out boxes of a retail concept that just don't work, that are unprofitable. And that's just dumb. I'm sorry. That's dumb leadership and that's dumb business. And then we get into a stage where we've got a company like Sears Holding with over 4,000 stores of one combined stores at one particular, down to like 800 as of August this year. And they're still not fixed it. Because you can't just fix the decline and bring your business back into a mass that's suddenly going to be rejuvenated. Because, you know, what's definitely being noticed here is that they're running out of money and that they're unable to pay their creditors. So there's some real lessons here. Look, the retail market is challenging, yes, but every retail company, if they're not online now, they're crazy. You know, I tried to get onto the Kmart.com website before, and I'll try again while I'm here, and I was getting an access denied. I don't have permission to visit that on this server. What the hell does that mean? You know, I don't know. I can't even access their website. I can go to the Sears website, but I can't go to the Kmart website. So now maybe they've locked it from a location. I don't know. Maybe that's just part of that cost cutting. But if a retailer wants to compete in the new digital age, they've got to learn how to compete in their old model first. And it's just, you know, I know I'm a little bit rambling here, but to me it's just such a shame. You know, 2019 is certainly, in my opinion, the year that we will lose both the name Sears and Kmart in America from the retail landscape. It's a very, very big road to climb from here for that particular business to get from their current footprint back into some sort of profitable business. Their whole focus since they joined together in 2004 has potentially been about store closures and cost cutting. And you can't run a business and grow a business profitably when that is your whole concern. So hats off to the companies that are making it happen. Look at Walmart, case in point. I read a story the other day that online groceries is going to... Walmart will surpass Amazon. And that's really exciting. You look at what Walmart are doing for their store managers and their social media for each of their stores. And, you know, there is so much to like about the strategy that Walmart have in competing and remaining number one today. And it's just such a shame to see the fact that Sears and Kmart didn't see that. They didn't see the change that was needed. They didn't have the visionaries within their teams that were able to influence. And all they've done is same old, and cut costs. And they got into what I call the cost spiral. And unfortunately, the cost spiral, all it does is go down. Okay? It just continues the decline. It speeds it up. So that's the one thing. So, you know, I really do hope that Sears and Kmart can come back. I would find it increasingly difficult to believe that that's to be the case. Unfortunately, Chapter 11 today may give them a little bit of respite and may give them the opportunity to be able to work through those challenges. But it's going to take some dramatic changes, you know. And the changes that they, like everyone in America at the moment, knows the likelihood is that they are going to close. That's it. Why would you go buy anything of value out of a retailer that you tend to think won't be there? So now they've got that challenged. So we've seen Toys R Us go. We'll see Sears and Kmart go. And it's not about the changing nature of the beast. It's not about the changing industry. That's playing a part. But it's about the vision and the leadership and the execution of a strategy that's been more at play here. You know, you can take it back all the way to 2004, where one struggling retailer took over another struggling retailer and believed that they could make it work. And we're getting the final outcome today. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dumb Leaders podcast. I know it's been a bit of a ramble and a bit all over the place, but don't ever say that we don't try and be current. The thing was happening as I was starting the podcast. So I hope you've taken some value out of it. Visionary skills, always keep plotting around what's next. Don't focus just on decreasing costs. You get into the cost spiral, and the only way down is to continue going down. The only direction a cost spiral has is to go down. So you have to, yes, you need to look after your costs, and you need to manage them as diligently as what you do looking out for profitable growth. Profitable growth is the key for business. Profitable growth. Because growth at any cost just doesn't work. And we can tend to see that time and time again. And we're going to see it again very soon with some of our internet retailers who have just grown. Sorry, not just retailers, our internet businesses that have just grown and grown and grown and grown. There's going to come a time where the stock market will say, now you've got to stand up and you've got to show us some profit. And until they can do that, we are going to see some pain in that aspect. Now, hey, I'm Tony. This is the Dumb Leaders podcast. Until next time, I'll see you then.